precious to see such a nice crowd in this weather. Okay. The topic of this shiur is entitled Hilchos Hanogos L'Shabsos Hakayis. Different halachas that are pertaining to the Shabbosim of the summer. Now, to tell you the truth, probably all the halachas that we're going to speak about today pertain to every Shabbos of the year. It's just that these questions perhaps come up more often in the summer months. So therefore, it's something as the greeting after Pesach is Gute Zumer, right? When you come home from shul after Pesach. So officially after Pesach, we could speak about the summer. So therefore, I thought this would be an appropriate discussion for this time of year. Okay. The first halacha is Lateis L'Darko Mibod Yom. That the Shulchan Aruch has specific halachas, some which apply today, some which perhaps don't apply today, but the general rule of leaving, if one has a destination to get to on Friday, so there are specific halachas given in the Shulchan Aruch about how early one must leave on Friday to get to his destination. Now, some of these halachas, the specific details, only applied when they didn't have the exact type of technology that we have today. But the general base, the general principle, as you should look here, Olech Beito, Hapshim Chavin Shabbeito Yelo Yoso, Oso Shemelo Yedu Klam Yoso, Vedunus Eilu Robinay Adam Machin Tzarki Shabbos Vareva. In other words, the initial din in the Shulchan Aruch is if you're going to show up in somebody's house on Friday and they're not going to know that you're coming and you're coming from a far distance, so that might create the problem of Chilul Shabbos. But today we just call on the phone and so we don't have that problem. But the general rule, and the Chafetz Chaim speaks about it, is that part of the Shomru B'nai Yisrael at HaShabbos is Shmira of Shabbos, keeping the Shabbos itself, but Shmira is also the anticipation of Shabbos. The Pasuk says in Parshas Vayeshev, V'aviv Shomar Hadavar. Shomar also means to anticipate. So there's a halacha of anticipation of Shabbos. So the general rule of thumb is that one has to give himself more than ample amount of time, and that's a halacha, that when you're going in the summer months, so when people often go to the mountains for the summer on Friday, or come to the city, or different things, and very often people don't give themselves the ample amount of time to travel on Friday, and they get themselves into big problems of Shabbos. So one has to be very makbid, and that's a halacha. It's not just a practicality. It's part of the Shomru B'nai Yisrael at HaShabbos, as quoted from the Chafetz Chaim, that one has to go ahead and leave ample time and take into, as Rav Harfenis writes, take into account all the traffic possibilities, etc. So one should not get into any problems of Chilul Shabbos. We assume our custom in America is that once sunset is here, we do not do any malacha after sunset. So in European countries, in Hungary and other areas, they followed the other opinions that even after sunset on Friday, you were still allowed to do malacha for another 58 and a half minutes. And that was a practice in many countries, in Hungary and other places for many years, but the accepted norm in all kehilos, whether it be Hasidic kehilos or non-Hasidic kehilos, more modern, less modern, everyone has accepted upon themselves as a norm that after sunset, after Shkia Sachama, one does not do malacha on Friday. So therefore, if one is driving, so once Shkia comes, one has to stop the car, because driving is a malacha daraisa. When you turn on the ignition, you violate, or any time you put your foot on the gas, you violate a Torah prohibition of havara, of creating fire on Shabbos, of burning fuel on Shabbos, and that's one of the lametes melachos. So certainly, once Shkia comes, there's no hesed to continue driving. However, the next paragraph, the inyan lo gozim shvus bebein hashmashos. Okay, well, Gozer Shrus, this quotation has nothing to do with, I don't know how that got there. This quotation has nothing to do with what Lo Gozer, so let me explain to you what Lo Gozer Shrus Bein HaShmashos means, is that that certain halachas on Shabbos are not biblically forbidden. They're only derabbanan. So certain things that are only derabbanan, when it comes to the first period of time after sunset. See, after sunset, we don't do malacha on Friday, but it's called the period of Bein HaShmashos, twilight, which is considered a doubtful period. Because we're not sure exactly when night begins. You would think such a basic halacha in Judaism of when night begins, we would have 100% clarity on this matter, and this is like the most unclear thing. So therefore, out of doubt, that's why we abstain from sunset. Sunset is not for sure night, but it's already in the doubt zone. So therefore, better safe than sorry, so we don't do malacha under any circumstances after sunset. But it's technically not the sure night until the stars come out. Three stars come out. So after sunset is already the doubt zone. So therefore you can't drive your car anymore. However, certain things that are only rabbinic in nature, and this is can be very complicated unless you are an expert in the laws of Shabbos to know what's a biblical prohibition and what's a rabbinic prohibition, then you shouldn't take upon yourselves to decide that unless you ask somebody, because certain rabbinic prohibitions are mutter during the twilight time, because since it's a time of doubt, so therefore you can have those leniencies. So the twilight time, as a stringency, we would say the first, say, 20 minutes, or maybe even 25 minutes after sunset, we would consider that like the twilight period, and therefore certain rabbinic prohibitions are waived in that time. Now, one thing that's clearly rabbinic prohibition is Amir La'akum, telling a non-Jew to do malacha for you. Now, this really requires its own shiur and its own right, that the concept of the Shabbos Goy, you know, which is a famous concept in Judaism, in fact, the famous historian Jacob Katz, if you ever heard of him, he's a very big historian, so he wrote the famous book called The Shabbos Goy. So the Shabbos goy is something that normally is prohibited. And under certain circumstances, we permit the Shabbos goy. For example, if someone's sick, so we permit the Shabbos goy to do things for this purpose. But just for no reason that you want to just have more, you have to really know when to apply the heter. The Shabbos goy is not a blanket leniency. But one area that the Shabbos goy is permissible is in this twilight period. So from sunset, say for another 20 minutes or so, if you still need a malacha to be done for you, so then the Shabbos goy could take over. So if you're a little bit close to your destination, you're not there, and there's a goy present who can drive you, or you got off the Long Island Railroad and you're stranded, but there's a car service, and it's, you know, you're basically 15 minutes away, and there's and it's going to be very difficult for you to walk, and it's maybe dangerous for this. So you can get into the car service and make sure that they open the door and close the door so you don't turn on any lights. But you have that extra time, say an extra 20 minutes from sunset, after sunset. Again, women normally light candles 18 minutes before the sunset, but that's a special stringency that somehow women took upon themselves. But technically, Shabbos doesn't start only by sunset. So again, once sunset comes, you can't do any malachas, but certain things that are rabbinic in nature you can do. And one example of something that's clearly rabbinic in nature is when you get a non-Jew to do it for you. So that's all the other halachas of what's rabbinic and what's not is going to be too complicated in the limited time that we have this morning. But clearly, so if it's a question of having the non-Jew drive you, so get into that cab and have the non-Jew drive you, or somehow you can get the non-Jew to drive you, so you can do it in that amount of time. Okay, the reason why it's only for the 20 minutes or 25 minutes is because in different places in the world, in other words, we don't end Shabbos 25 minutes after the sunset. We made it longer. Even the people who don't keep such a long Shabbos at least wait 42 minutes or 45 minutes. But that's considered to be on the safe side. So, but technically speaking, the real twilight is only those minutes. And of course, depending upon where you are in the world, say for example in Israel, as soon as the sun sets, if you've been in Israel, as soon as the sun sets, it gets dark very quickly. In America, we're further away from the equator, so the further away you are from the equator, the longer it takes to get dark, and therefore it expands. So in Israel, twilight is even less; it's like only like 13 minutes. So here we're further away from the equator, so maybe it's 20, 25. And then, et cetera. Right, so the payment is also rabbinic. Yeah, it's muktzah. You know, the money is muktzah, or he can come in and take the money himself, but that's also rabbinic in nature. Okay? But, so if you're stuck, you know, around Shkia time, and you think you're going to have to go past the Shkia, so, and hopefully you're within reason, you're in within the Tchum, hopefully, so the best way is to already start to, in other words, if you're anticipating it already, and you can already from before Shkia, see if you can get, you know, park your car someplace and get into a car service and have them, so therefore you'll have that extra 20, 25 minutes, by the guy driving you again. But this is not an ideal situation. This is for those people that violated number one and didn't, or something unforeseen happened. So then I'm giving you a backup. Number two is that logozu shmus ben hashmashos, that certain rabbinic prohibitions are lifted At Banish Moshe's, yes. Yeah, Mar Zion is something we care about a lot, but in this situation, since it's we only permit it, in other words, we don't say lechatchila, you can go ahead and do this, as this is only on the very difficult situation. I'll give you another example. Say, for example, somebody forgot to light the yortzeit candle. So lighting a yortzeit candle is a minhag, but people take it very seriously, and they would feel very bad if it's already shkia and they forgot the yortzeit candle. No, lighting a candle, that's not rabbinic, that's biblical. But to get a guy to do it, that only rabbinic. So then some permit it for those 20 minutes after. Lighting a candle from a candle is also a biblical prohibition on Shabbos. So therefore that's equal severity. But if in a situation where somebody forgot to light the yortzeit candle, so we'll give them 20 minutes with a goy after Shabbos if they really feel bad about that situation that they forgot. But again, this is only if you forgot. Hopefully, if you start the day early enough, you won't forget. Okay. So that's number two. Be'inyan logozu shvus b'bein hashmashos, that they didn't go there. Certain drabbanon during the twilight period. Number three, zman kabbalas tosef shabbos. We know that it's been a practice in America, and it started well before America, that people, well, in summer, that's probably an American thing, that Americans are used to eating dinner at a certain time and doing things at a certain time, and Shabbos somehow doesn't come out when we want it to come out in certain times of the year. So many communities have the 7 o'clock, early Shabbos, and which is fine. I mean, we assume that you could add on. In fact, we assume it's a mitzvah to add on to Shabbos. So normally, the women, do that mitzvah every Shabbos when they light candles 18 minutes before sunset. And men hopefully should get the shul a little bit early on Friday, and there's still a couple of minutes before the sunset, and they either could verbally say the Mekabel Shabbos after they daven mincha, or by the fact that they abstain from malacha, they do this mitzvah. The elasticity of Shabbos is from plag mincha, so like an hour and a quarter before shkia is the earliest that you could accept Shabbos according to most opinions. There are some opinions that say that you can even accept Shabbos the whole afternoon after, but the normative psak is that you shouldn't light candles or accept Shabbos before an hour and a quarter before sunset. And if you did, then according to many opinions, it's not a proper Kabbalah Shabbos, and so within an hour and a quarter before sunset is when you could already decide to accept Shabbos upon yourself. Now, many times people accept early Shabbos in the summer. I mean, you can accept early Shabbos during the winter also, but as it is, it's pretty early, and we're lucky that we get everything done that we need to do on the 4:30 Shabbatim as well, so we're not looking to make it 3:30. But every once in a while we forget to do something. We forgot to turn on the lights in the room, we forgot to turn off a light, we forgot. So it's important to know halacha number 4, Amira li Yisrael acher shelo kibel Shabbos. יש אומרים שמי שקיבל על שבת קודם של חשיכה, מותר לומר לישראל חבר לעשות לו מלאכה. Meaning, you could tell not only, we've been talking about telling a goy, here you can tell another Jew, if your neighbor did not accept Shabbat yet, so then, and you forgot to turn on a light, so knock on his door and ask him to come and turn on the light, he could do it for you, since he wasn't Mekabel, if he was not Mekabel Shabbat. Now, of course, once Shkia comes, it doesn't matter whether you're Mekabel or not Mekabel. Shabbos is here by Shkia, whether you want him or her, it doesn't matter. But when you do early Shabbos, so then you ushered it in early, so then you have the ability to do it or not to do it. So if your neighbor didn't accept the early Shabbos, then you can ask them to do any malacha, even a biblical prohibition. Your neighbor who did not accept Shabbos could do for you. So that's an important leniency that we should keep in mind. Now, number five is an interesting thing. Kabbalah Shabbos shall tibur. There is a halacha in rov hakol kibulu em Shabbos hamiyadim shachim achareim al korcha. That if the shul was mekabel Shabbos early, and even if you weren't, you have to follow the community. Now, this halacha is very rare, because this halacha applies in a community where there's only one shul, and that shul did an early Shabbos, so that means the whole community is doing an early Shabbos. So how many, you know, situations? This Shabbos we were in Linden, New Jersey, so there's only one Orthodox shul there. So then, like I pointed out, this could be the Shabbos, this could be this halacha. Or sometimes in a bungalow colony, when there's only one minyan for that whole community. So then, if there's one minyan for the whole community, so then, and they decide to make an early Shabbos, so you have to make an early Shabbos also. You can't say that I'm going to continue doing my cooking and my turning on the lights, etc. You have to find out, even if you're not going to shul, you have to find out when the community is accepting Shabbos, and at that point you have to abstain from malacha as well. But in a community like all the other ones, where there are 15 different shuls at different times, and even in one shul there are three different minyanim, so then this whole thing doesn't apply, because it's not one official minyan, and therefore there would be no necessity for you to accept early Shabbos if you don't want to. That's coming up. Okay. So that's number five, Kabbalah Shabbos al Tibur. And number six is this idea that in rov hakol, v'chein b'yesh yesh bo v'otei knesios harbein, ein achas nimshechet acha chaverka. That in a place where there are many shuls, and one shul is not bound by the other. Now, as you asked, is the next point, number seven, in Kabbalah Shabbos shel habal chala al ishto. In other words, if the husband did early Shabbos, and he went to the 7 o'clock minyan, say shkia later in the summer, not till 8:15, and he went to the, and he's home at 8 o'clock, and she's still doing things, etc. Is that proper or not? So, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, this is just a brief excerpt from the longer tshuva. It's pretty long, the excerpt is pretty long. But he writes that, Yinek Shabbal Kibel Lov Shabbos Vod Yom, Yishnan Lachor Poshet She'ena Negreres Acharav. First line. Poshet She'ena Negreres Acharav. She is not subordinate to her husband. Okay, is that good? Right. Right. Moshe Feinstein postulates that the woman can continue doing malacha even though the husband already said Belachadodi Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. She could still be lighting the fires and turning on lights and turning off lights and doing, of course, when Shkia comes, and of course, then she has to work 18 minutes before if that's her custom. But she, and especially, and you don't even consider this a minhag. Why do we say that a lot of times Rav Moshe writes that the women should follow their husbands minhagim with Yabe certain things? So Rav Moshe says this is not a minhag. This is a convenience. It's not like your husband has a minhag to do early Shabbos. It's not a minhag. It's that a convenience. So that doesn't even get the status of a minhag. So therefore, it's not even a minhag. So therefore, if she needs, she might not want to. She might want to, you know. But there's no halakhic obligation for her to stop doing malacha when the husband was Mekabel Shabbos. Yes. Bench lift whenever you want to bench. I mean, as long as it's after Plag Mincha. So then you can't light candles. Nothing to do with your husband going to shul or not. You shouldn't light candles before an hour and a quarter before Shkia, as we said before. That's the earliest under normal circumstances that we say you could be Mekabel Shabbos. But then you. But if you want to wait later, if you still have things to do, so then you can light candles as long as you light it before. No, even if he came home, even if you're technically speaking, even if your husband came home, nothing happens when the husband comes home. It might be a little awkward, you know, for him. He might not, you know. But that's not a technical halacha. That's just a question of awkwardness. You understand? So if you could avoid awkwardness, it's good to avoid awkwardness. But if you were really just something, whatever, you know, just a crazy day, you know, so then you could still do malacha because you're not bound by his Kabbalah Shabbos. Yeah. Whether there, right, well, probably not. Yeah. No, she was talking about the children in the adult kids in the house. Right. So the Chora, they're also not obligated to accept Shabbos either. So she wanted to know about her adult kids in the house. Were they obligated to accept Shabbos when she benched Licht? So it's also not just like any Friday when you bench Licht in the winter and they're still carrying things and doing things, etc. So it shouldn't be any worse than what happens in the winter. Okay. Number 8, Shavus Mutarachal Kabbalah Shabbos al Hatzibur. However, even though we mentioned before that you, for the first 20-25 minutes, after sunset, you could still tell the guy to do things, etc. But that's only if the tzibur was not, the congregation was not mekabel Shabbos. If the tzibur was already mekabel Shabbos, the community was mekabel Shabbos, and you were part of that community, you went to shul, and you were mekabel Shabbos with the community, and then you came home after you accepted Shabbos with the tzibur, and then you said, oh, I forgot to turn on the light. So if your wife didn't mekabel Shabbos yet, she can turn it on. Or your neighbor didn't mekabel, he could turn it on. But the idea of telling a guy for the first 20-25 minutes is talking about when the tzibur was not yet mekabel Shabbos. It's important to note, number 9, that we have a minhag that women have, that when they are madlik neir Shabbos, they don't do melacha. And this is a minhag, but it's really not the strict halacha. The strict halacha is that just because a woman lit the Shabbos candles, that doesn't make it Shabbos. Those are two separate things. Lighting the Shabbos candles is, you're doing something in preparation for Shabbos, but it's not Shabbos itself. Now, the minhag became that women accept Shabbos with the Shabbos candles. But that's not a strict din. And therefore, if there's something they need to do, and so they can make a condition that they're not being mekabel Shabbos, and therefore they need to do something that's important to them, they're lighting, they're in the hotel in the plaza, and they want to go to the hotel and get in a cab or something like that. So they verbally stipulate that I'm lighting the Shabbos candles and I'm not mekabel Shabbos. And if there's a real need, they could do so. Till anytime. Again, you can't do malacha once Shkia comes. Still Shkia, a little bit before, but yeah, I mean, whatever your minhag is, but you could go ahead and stipulate if you don't stipulate. So since we assume that women always have in mind that they're mekabel Shabbos, so we assume that they, you know, once this became the minhag, then it's like an automatic that they are being mekabel Shabbos, even though technically speaking, it's many Rishonim were of the opinion that on Shabbos Chanukah you light the Shabbos candles and then you light the Chanukah candles, because Tadir Vishenu Tadir Kodem, right? Now if you tell that to somebody today, they'll think you're off the wall. I mean, Shabbos candles are Shabbos, how can I light the Chanukah candles? And that's why the practice is to light the Chanukah candles first. But many rabbinic authorities throughout the generations held not that way. So this is a minhag that, and it's not the Ikar Din. So you should realize that when you really need to follow the Ikar Din, you could stipulate that you don't want to be following the minhag in this situation, even though normally we follow them and hug them. But if there's a pressing situation where you need to get into someone was telling me about their mother that, like, she can't get into a car after she lights, because it's so ingrained that after you light the Shabbos candles, you know, but that's because the minhag became, maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's not a good thing, whatever, but the halacha is that, and this comes up on Erev Yom Kippur, when a lot of times when women go to shul for Kol Nidre, etc., that they could make a tnai, and then as Rabbi Saxon pointed out, they shouldn't say Shechianu then, and they'll wait to hear say Shechianu in the shul. That's for Yom Kippur. Okay. Yes. Right. So take a look at number 10, the second line. Kabel Shabbos v'tispal milchatchila. See, in other words, the best thing is that if a woman davens mincha, she should daven mincha before she lights the candle, before you go to shul. Right, that's the best thing to do. So daven mincha, in other words, if you go to shul Friday night. Right, so daven mincha at home. So, you're right, but if you want to do that technically, you could do that. Since the tzibur, some poskim hold that if the tzibur wasn't mekabel Shabbos, you can still daven mincha. So, if you want to do that, you could light first and then daven mincha. But many poskim hold that you daven mincha first and then light. So, but if once the tzibur was mekabel Shabbos, then you can't daven mincha. Okay. Yes. Where are you quoting from? Number 10. Yeah. No, where there's a halacha, if you didn't daven mincha, you can daven ma'ariv kvar. For anybody. We don't discriminate. Women are technically really responsible for davening just like men are. Ma'ariv maybe is more... Okay. Okay, maybe we should leave some of the questions for afterwards, because unless you have a pressing question. This is pressing. Okay. All questions are pressing, that's true. Okay. Tarti desasi b'kabbalah Shabbos behektim. Okay, this can be very technical. That some of the opinions that if you're davening mincha ma'ariv early, so that day you should daven mincha, you know, much before, in the earlier part of the afternoon. So it shouldn't be two back-to-back mincha ma'arivs that are in the same time zone. But if you need to, is what to be lenient on that as well, because you're doing it to accept Shabbos early. Okay, number 12. Zman su de Shabbos. The halacha is that if you accept Shabbos early, you can eat the whole meal, even if it's still daylight. You could eat the whole meal. In fact, the Trumas Hadeshen, the first tshuva in the Trumas Hadeshen, records a practice where a community kept Shabbos. They accepted Shabbos early, and then they ate the meal, and they took a walk around the Danube River, and they came back, and it was still light out. So, in other words, it's not like the Seder night you have to have at night. That's the only time in the year that there's a complete obligation. Shavuos, there's a minute that to keep it 49 complete days, we also start late. That's more of a minute. Pesach night is a real halacha that you have to eat the matzah at night and you have to say the Haggadah at night and that. But the rest of the year, on Shabbos, you can accept Shabbos early and eat the meal during the daytime. Some say it's nice to eat a little bit into the night, as the Mishnah Berurah writes in number 13. Sheizahir, on the second line, Vimshech Sudoso at Halayla. Some say it's good to eat a little bit into the night, but that's considered a stringency. Technically speaking, you can be mekabel Shabbos early, and you can eat the whole meal and finish, and it's still daylight, and you fulfilled through the Shabbos. Kiddush b'makom suda is the halacha of every Shabbos of the year, but sometimes it comes up in the summer. Interesting questions. Like in the camps, when they sometimes make Kiddush after Shachris, and then they daven Musaf a little later, you go to visit the camp. So, but the basic halacha is that to be Yotzei Kiddush, you have to have the meal right after the Kiddush. Now, their opinions quoted in Shulchan Aruch of the Gaonim, that you don't have to have the whole meal. It's enough to drink a cup of wine or to have some mezonos like we do in the Kiddush in a shul. We don't have the whole meal in shul. But and Rav Moshe Feinstein in number 15 has even a bigger leniency, where he says that really in the Kiddush and shul you could eat whatever you want. You don't even, normally we're trained to, the normative halacha is that in the Kiddush and shul you should eat at least the mezonos or wine, and that's considered like a mini suda, and that's, you don't say the Kiddush. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you can do, eat whatever you want in shul. Egg salad, tuna fish, anything you want, provided that when you come home, you make, by the real meal, you make Kiddush again. So, and that was a question that came about on Pesach, especially the people that don't have gebrach, so then what's there to eat in the Kiddush and in shul? That's, there's no mezonos to eat. So, so Moshe says, no problem, eat whatever you want, and then you come home late, you make Kiddush again. Bechlal, it's a nice thing to always make Kiddush again at the meal. Even if you heard Kiddush and shul and had a piece of cake and had whatever. The only question is, what is the minimum that you have to eat in the shul? So many say that at least wine or mezonos you have to have, in a kezayis of wine or a kezayis of mezonos or a vias of wine. And Rav Moshe said you could have anything you want in the shul. You can even just have a shahakol in the shul as long as when you come home you make Kiddush again. So, but it's always recommended that at the meal in at home to make Kiddush again. What? Not required, recommended. Recommended. And there are opinions that say that you have to have the full meal to fulfill Kiddush. That's why some people, like a Shechtel, doesn't eat at a Kiddush in shul. Maybe it's a good thing to take upon yourself. Because Kiddush v'makom suda means the real suda. And therefore, if they're not serving bread, you can't eat. That's the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. And maybe that's a good way of keeping healthy, is to fulfill this opinion of the Vilna Gaon, that if they're not serving bread at the Kiddush, you can't eat. But the Shulchan Aruch held not that way. Okay. Number 16, Amir al-Akum. So we've discussed before in the Shia, Amir al-Akum, that is, you're not allowed to tell a goy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. But if it's the purpose of a sick person, say somebody's sick and they need the goy to light a fire to heat up the room. So he says, Baratos Koros, Mutars Leila Yudulatos Vidura, Bishvil Akanim. If it's very cold, then you can get a guy to do even a biblical prohibition for you. For again, the Shabbos guy is not something that's always mutter. It's mutter, as we said, during the twilight period. Is one time it's mutter. It's mutter for a chola, and there are other cases that it's mutter also. We're not going to go through them also. So if somebody's sick, he can make the fire. So the contemporary posts can discuss, what about if it's very hot in the summer and you forgot to turn on the air conditioner, would you say the same thing? Just like you can get a guy to light the fire if it's too cold, could you get the guy to turn on the air conditioner if it's too warm? So turning on the air conditioner might only be a rabbinic prohibition, because it's not making a fire. That's the question, whether electricity is a rabbinic prohibition. So we would normally assume turning on the light is a biblical prohibition, but other forms of electricity is a controversy between the Chazon Ish, who held it was a biblical prohibition, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who held it was a rabbinic prohibition. So post can say, if it's very, very hot, and you're going to polish, and you forgot to turn on the air conditioner, you can get a guy to turn on the air conditioner for you just like we say you can turn, get a goy in the cold weather to light the fire, so kal v'chomer, they can turn on the electricity for you, because that's even less of an issue, because it might not even be a biblical prohibition. This is during Shabbos itself. This is 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Shabbos day. This is I wouldn't do that. I would not do this. Tampering with the Shabbos clocks on Shabbos is a very problematic thing to do, and I would not get involved in that. But getting a goy for the air conditioner, and again, preferably you should have known this in advance and have a Shabbos clock for your air conditioner, or leave it on the whole, whatever way. But if you didn't realize it was going to be so hot, so then one could go ahead and get a goy if it's to turn on the air conditioner for you. Number 17, asiyas kerach b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to make ice on Shabbos? Is that a prohibition or not? So this is a big discussion in the poskim, and the question at hand is there something wrong on Shabbos with changing the form of something? Say something is a solid, you make it into a liquid, or vice versa. So there's a Gemara in Shabbos on Nun Aleph, says, "Ein maratkim losa sheleg losa borad b'Shabbos." You can't take some snow and crush it and liquefy snow. So why can't you liquefy snow? So some poskim say you can't liquefy snow because it looks like you're squeezing an orange. And we know squeezing an orange you can't do. So even though it's not squeezing an orange, this is very different than squeezing an orange. But it looks like squeezing an orange, so therefore they forbade it. That's one school of thought. The other school of thought is because, no, it's the general prohibition of changing the form of something. So some point out that if you say that the reason why you can't squeeze snow is because it looks like you're making an orange, you're squeezing an orange, so then there should be nothing wrong with making ice cubes, because you're not squeezing. However, if there's this general rule that you can't change the form of something, so then just like you can't, some point out, just like you can't squeeze the ice or the snow to make liquid, you can't take liquid and make it into a solid form. So this is a general debate. And the other issue here is, this might be even better, because here you're not doing it exactly with your hands. It's happening, so to speak. You put it in motion, and it's happening by itself, which might be a little bit more lenient. So the general rule of thumb is that if you could do it before Shabbos, definitely try to do it before Shabbos. But if not, you're stuck, or you forgot to do it, so then you could do it on Shabbos as well. You didn't realize you're out of ice, and it's a hot day. You can make the ice cubes on Shabbos, but preferably remind yourself beforehand. You mean the ice maker is making it by itself? Okay, so then that's also good. I mean, there are some that might be stringent upon that, but technically speaking, you could even put the water in. And again, if you could do everything before, that's the best case scenario. Okay, Rechitza b'Shabbos, there are prohibitions of bathing on Shabbos, and the bottom line is that the Mishnah Berurah says in 22, the minhag is not to bathe one's body on Shabbos, even in cold water. Some say that this minhag didn't apply to showers; it only applies to immersing one's body. But in general, the minhag is not to shower, not to bathe on on Shabbos, even if one is in a very hot situation. Yontif is a different story. But we're not here to discuss Yontif. So on Shabbos, this is the prohibition of swimming on Shabbos, that one might come to make some type of contraption to help you with the swimming, and therefore Chazal forbade swimming, they forbade bathing as well. Another thing they forbade in number 23 is Isser Shtamshus B'Mechuber, that a lot of times you're in the country and there's a tree there, and you have a coat, jacket or a sweater, you want to just throw it on the tree, so you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos, because we're afraid you're going to break off a branch. So you can't put your sweater on the tree, you can't put anything on the tree on Shabbos. So that's an issur, a rabbinic prohibition of to be mishtamim b'mechuber. Not only that, you can't take something off the tree. In other words, if you have your sweater on the tree, so to take it off the tree is also considered using the tree. So therefore, stay away from the trees. You can look at the trees, but don't. Or if you have, for example, you have a nail that's coming out of the tree and you want to hang something on the nail, so the nail also is considered an extension of the tree. But if you have a tree and you have a nail, and then you have a bucket hanging from the nail, so then you can put something in that bucket, because that's considered too far, that's considered two steps removed from the tree. So then you could use it in such a situation. The shade is good. And then one has to be careful, this is Ria, that if you're eating, you're serving Shal Shudas in your backyard and there's grass, so you have to be careful. Really, you're not supposed to eat when there's grass, because you might spill some of the liquid, some of the water, and then you'll violate the prohibition of planting on Shabbos, because if you put water on your on the grass, then you violate the prohibition of planting. When it comes up also on Sukkot, this comes up, because on Sukkot people have the shlach on their sukkah, so then the sun comes out, now you want to eat in the sukkah, so you want to take the shlach out and it's full of water, and then the water goes on the ground onto the grass, and then you violate. So if the grass is still very wet, and therefore you're not adding anything, because the grass is plenty wet even without your extra water, then it's not considered violating the prohibition of planting. But if you wait, it's already dry, and now you're first waking up, you want to go out in your sukkah, and you're going to take the thing off, and it's going to get on the grass, so then maybe you should go to someone else's sukkah. Okay, Rabotai, these are, I'm sure there are many other halachas that we could talk about, but these are some basic halachas regarding Shabbos. Again, all these halachas apply the whole year round. It's just on the summer months, we have to just be more aware of these, because they come up maybe in a greater form in the summer months. So the schus our Shmir Shabbos, we should be zocheh, as the Gemara says, for the Geula, and therefore we should keep in mind some of these halachas as we approach the Shabbatos of the summer.